It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. And I apologize in advance for a little bit of a raspy throat. I have been in the field for a week with an IMAX film crew. And in doing so, endured some wet weather conditions, which has led to a raspy throat. So bear with me if you would. I'm going to start off this morning with an experience I had this past week, which really makes me think about what life once was and what we have done to the quality of life, which is irreversible, and hopefully we don't lose what's left. Specifically, I'm talking about the Central Valley of California, where I spent much of the past week filming as part of the IMAX movie Wings Over Water, which hopefully will be a transformational movie on what we have done with North America's wetlands and what we can do to save what is left and save the bird life as well. The Central Valley of California was, without question, I mean, it had to be as close to the Garden of Eden as anything that we had on this continent, running from the Butte Sink in the north all the way south to Bakersfield in the south, a distance of hundreds of miles in length and close to 100 miles wide at its widest point, with rivers running through it, Sacramento River, all kinds of rivers, and grasslands from valley floor to valley floor where it met the coastal range on the west and it met the Sierra Madres on the right, on the east. And the Central Valley was, one reads the account of settlers that moved west, it was just beyond description for the amount of birds that were there. So today, 2020, we have something like 4% of the habitat left in the Central Valley that was once there, 4%. And if you, as I did, fly over in planes and drones and helicopters and drive, you're hard to find that 4%. It is fragmented. It is under siege. And when you look at the Central Valley of California and how it has been transitioned from this vast land of grasslands and wetlands and an enormous floodplain, you can't help but think that this 4% that left is really under siege, and it is. You also cannot help but believe, and we think about this in Illinois, but it's on a different scale, you can't help believe and recognize that the efforts of the private sector are saving what is still there. And while we hear so much about the work of government and how the government is responsible for so many things, I can assure you as I'm sitting here this morning that were it not for the private sector, the wetlands in California and the few places of habitat left that resemble what it was like 150 years ago would be gone. There is a wonderful private-public partnership in California that exists between a relatively few private sector individuals, the Fish and Wildlife Service, Ducks Unlimited, California Waterfowl Association, Audubon, and a few others. And they are the reason that we have the very little bit of habitat left in California. And sitting here in Illinois, you think, well, we've lost all of our habitat too. Why is California different? California is different in this context. The Pacific Flyway, which is one of the major four flyways, is largely dependent on what's left in California to winter millions of migratory birds. If we lose what's left in California, if we lose any more of the Central Valley, we could see the wipeout of a large portion of the Pacific Flyway. And that will have a dramatic impact on the quality of bird life throughout North America. So this past week, as I was immersed in the world of the Central Valley, I came to realize how important the North American Wetlands Conservation Act is, again, how important the federal duck stamp program is, and more on that in a moment, and how important it is for the leadership role taken by the private sector, which has coalesced around saving what is left. And yes, those individuals love to hunt. And if there's one place in North America where the role of hunters can be seen as that of conservation leaders, it's in California, a state that is absolutely being wrecked, as we all read, with regulations and restrictions. And in fact, California is if you hunt in California, you are in the sights, no pun intended, of those who want to take away your rights. Yet it is those who hunt in California that have protected the habitat, that own the habitat, that are managing the habitat and providing the funds so that we can keep trying to get more habitat or at least maintain what we have. Without hunting in California, without bird hunting in California, the Central Valley's gone. I think I was told that roughly of the 4% that's left, roughly 2% is in private sector hands and 2% is in the hands of federal estate agencies. And that 2% in private hands will go to zero if California continues to move on its efforts to restrict the rights of people to hunt, which is certainly an agenda of many in California. So it was it wasn't an eye-opening experience because I've seen it before, but it was a really strong reminder to me that the private sector is the leader in conservation in America. And in California, as is true in so many other places, it is those who enjoy hunting and want to see hunting continue who put up the vast amount of money and provide the resources and also provide, yes, the political clout to ensure that habitat is protected. Illinois is no different. It's just on a much smaller scale. But in California, it's everything. So as I left the state on Friday, I couldn't help but think that not only are those individuals who are at the forefront of saving habitat really the hope for the Pacific Flyway, but that they are a model for the rest of the country. And California has problems that we don't have in Illinois and we don't have anywhere in the Mississippi Flyway. The problems with water, of course, being the main issue. We have too much, they have too little. But at the end of the day, we do share something very much in common. We are losing at a phenomenal rate, and a rate that will bring an end to much of what we know. We are losing our wetlands, and we are losing our grasslands and the habitat that are required to support and sustain the birds that we still have left on the continent. So California is indeed, you know, the golden state, but it's a state that is so badly diminished in it, from its original its original wetlands and grasslands, that it's hard to recognize or even imagine what was once there. When I come back in a moment, I'm going to talk about the federal duck stamp and how there is a renewed effort to once again move forward with a very bad idea that Secretary of Interior Brian Zinke had about what to do with the federal duck stamp program. I'll be back in just a moment. Thank you so much for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana.
In the field, hunters need to be alert, sense the environment around them, and know exactly where they are. Communicate seamlessly with their dogs. And when it comes to pickup trucks, you want the same qualities. The all-new Chevy Silverado comes with an available 4G Wi-Fi hotspot for seamless communication. It's designed to handle the toughest loads with advanced trailering technology, tough on the road and off. And the all-new design gives you more cargo space than the competition. Chevy Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup on the road. Plus, there's never been a better time to see your local Chevy dealer about the Big Fix lease. It's an amazing lease deal that can lower your monthly payments and give you more Chevy, all for less money. That's a treasure hunt. So head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and see why Chevy is the number one best-selling brand in Chicagoland, now 8 years running.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host. And again, I apologize in advance for the raspiness in my throat picked up while touring the Central Valley of California this past week. Just before the break, I mentioned I was going to talk about the reemergence or re-energizing of a very bad idea within the Department of Interior, fostered by the former Secretary of Interior Ryan Zinke, who quite frankly had a lot of bad ideas. But this one is particularly poisonous to the future, I believe, of the federal duck stamp program, and others believe it, which is the single most effective conservation program in the history of America for preserving wetlands. The federal duck stamp program requires that 98 cents on every dollar be spent directly on habitat acquisition, habitat management, for the benefit of wetlands and waterfowl. It's been in existence since 1935, Ding Darling creating the first federal duck stamp. It's been an enormous success. You're required to buy a duck stamp if you go waterfowl hunting in North America. It's raised hundreds of millions of dollars and has permanently protected tens of millions of acres and created basically our national wildlife refuge system. So why change something that's not working? Well, Ryan Zinke is no longer Secretary of Interior, so we don't need to ask him. What we need to ask is the current Secretary of Interior why he thinks it was a good idea. Ryan Zinke proposed requiring that the federal duck stamp have in the annual stamp a scene depicting hunting, whether that was a dog holding a duck, whether that was drawings of two individuals sitting in a duck blind, whether it was a shotgun on a wall, who knows? But it would be required that a scene depicting hunting was actually the in the design of the duck stamp. This is a horrible idea. And I can only hope that the Department of Interior, which now wants to bring it back to life, quickly deep sixes it. And numerous op-ed pieces and editorials are being written about this, both sides. I personally don't see the other side. We want to expand the number of individuals who buy duck stamps. I personally think, as do others, that if you go to a national wildlife refuge, you should have a duck stamp when you go there. It's the duck stamp program that bought that land and keeps it in place. And yet millions of individuals who are birders go to our national wildlife refuges free of charge, look at the birds that we as hunters paid for. That land is there because we purchased the federal duck stamp. We should expand its usage, and we should expand the number of individuals who are required to buy one. And to do so, we should stay with what has been an absolutely wonderfully working program all these years. Fabulous art, whether you're David Moss or the Houtman brothers, very, very well-known artists annually compete to have their drawing of a bird, a species of waterfowl, become the duck stamp drawing. And then it's purchased by about 1.5 million people a year. It'd be great to see that number double at $25 a stamp. And it shows a beautiful bird. It doesn't show a scene of hunting. And if we want to have our National Wildlife Refuge system be well managed, and we want to draw more people into this belief, that which is true, that the federal duck stamp program is the single most effective conservation program we have, because 98 cents on every dollar has to go directly to habitat, they can't take overhead, then we don't want to encumber it with a picture of a scene of hunting that requires individuals who don't hunt to buy the thing. So I don't know why the Department of Interior is moving down this road, but hopefully individuals across the country will bring some sense to the Department of Interior to say that this is really, really short-sighted, because it is. So if you're listening and you want to weigh in, please let the Department of Interior know that you think the federal duck stamp, as it's been is a great success, and that if anything, the program should be expanded to require those who utilize our national wildlife refuges to also purchase a federal duck stamp, as hunters have, because that's why they're there, and that we don't limit its scope of appeal by requiring that a hunting scene be placed on the stamp. It's a bad idea, bad policy, and frankly will cost tens of millions of dollars in future funding if they move forward with it. With a couple minutes left, something bizarre happened last week. Brian Wilson, you may recall who Brian Wilson is. If you're a fan of the Beach Boys, you certainly know. Brian Wilson asked members of the Beach Boys to boycott the Safari Club International Annual Convention in Reno. The Safari Club International Annual Convention is one of the biggest gatherings of the outdoor world in the country, in the world. And members of the Beach Boys band had agreed to perform there. Brian Wilson, who is an anti-hunter, animal rights activist, went online and went viral, I guess is the best way to put it, urging his former band members not to participate in the Safari Club, because the Safari Club advances the belief that hunting is a proper wildlife management tool and that hunting provides revenue so that we can have conservation. So this has now become a big deal, where once again Hollywood is interjecting itself, and I don't say that from a political standpoint, I don't have that bias, but where Hollywood is interjecting itself into a cause that has through time proven to be extremely important to the management, in this case, the management of wildlife in Africa. It wasn't for the revenues and the interest of people from around the world in hunting in Africa, we would have very little game, and that's not a debatable situation, that's a fact. We would have very little conservation in Africa. So Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys is urging a boycott. Let's hope it doesn't happen. It would be bad for conservation, bad for conservation funding, but it again shows how little information we really have on the important role that hunting and conservation funding from the private sector has in sustaining wildlife around the world. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be back next Sunday with much more on the Great Outdoors Show. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.